Great to be with you this morning. We are starting a new focus as a church. As you can see behind me, as you can see on the banner as we rolled in. And I wonder what the Holy Spirit is going to do in each of us. I wonder what the Holy Spirit is going to do. The Holy Spirit is God's presence on earth now with us, and He's responsible for those aha moments in our life, those life-changing moments, those small or maybe those large kairos moments, these significant moments that free us from sin, that free us from the things that bind us down, that free us for a deep life with God. And I wonder what the Holy Spirit is going to do in you in these next weeks ahead. I believe and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. And what's more important than any application that I give in the sermon, than any point that the book makes, what's more important than any of that is what the Holy Spirit puts on each of our hearts, what the Holy Spirit brings to mind for each of us, what the Holy Spirit does through the scriptures that we are focusing on. And I'm excited about this. We're starting a focus called Bless. And Bless is all about Jesus' command to love our neighbor. The staff, the leadership council in our church, we've been thinking about this, we've been praying about this, we've been planning it since October. We believe that this is God's next step for our whole church. And yet, more important than the staff's plans, more important than my sermon points, let me just reiterate, more important than all of these is what the Holy Spirit brings to our attention and offers us. And I want to state this right at the beginning of our series. Each of us are going through different things right now, different parts of the journey as disciples of Jesus. Some of us are just exploring what church is all about, what Jesus is all about, and the Holy Spirit has something for you. Some of us are overwhelmed in the chaos of life, and we just cannot add one more thing to our mental load. And the Holy Spirit has something different to give to you. Some of us are going through treatment for debilitating diseases like cancer, and the Holy Spirit has something unique for you to do. And then some of us are eager and we're passionate to see God work and we have the time and the resources and we're chanting, let's go! For you as well, the Holy Spirit has something. And I wonder what it is. The Holy Spirit is going to be at work. And we're a diverse church. We're united around Jesus. We're filled with the Spirit. He works in unique ways that are both gentle and immense. And as we start the blessed focus, let me say it one more time. I wonder, I'm expectant, I'm praying for what the Holy Spirit is going to do in each of our hearts. Last week, I defined prayer as all of our life oriented Godward, but I still want to pause and address God directly. So would you pray with me as we start this series? Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, you're already come, and so we welcome you. And we ask you to have the freedom to do in us what you want to do so that the world would be blessed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us open up the scripture for today and turn to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. It's on page 820 in a black chair Bible around you. And we're going to focus on one verse, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. And this is going to be our theme verse, our guiding verse for the next few months. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. We're going to read the second half of the verse. And here it goes. The words of Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. A simple truth. Love your neighbor. Very simple, very clear, very straightforward. But did you know that Jesus said this verse, said these simple words, in the middle of a very tense debate? Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, while he is locked in debate with the religious leaders in Jerusalem. That's the context of Matthew chapter 22. Jesus says, love your neighbor. Imagine modern day Jesus driving a motorcade into Washington, D.C. on the week of the presidential election. Jesus, presidential candidate. In Matthew 21, 22, Jesus rides a donkey up to Jerusalem during Passover week. Very momentous. Modern day Jesus is debating with the Senate and the Congress and the Supreme Court and the other presidential candidates. In Jesus' day, he was debating with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the high priest, the leaders of the community. They're going back and forth on a lot of current issues in this passage. The purpose and scope of government, justice and injustice, taxes and financial planning for the nation, corruption and greed. You read Matthew 21, 22, it's all in there. Jesus is winning the debate. The crowds are very impressed. And then look at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laws. It would be like asking the presidential candidate, hey, what's the most important law in the United States? In the middle of a huge debate about public policy and government corruption and whether Israel is still God's chosen nation, Jesus is asked to make a statement about the most important thing. The most important thing for the nation of Israel. The most important thing for the political platform of Jesus, candidate and soon to be crowned king. What is the most important thing to King Jesus and his kingdom? Jesus, what is it? What is the most important thing to wrap our lives around, to have as the drumbeat of our souls, to the goal for which we'll sacrifice everything else? What is it, Jesus? And all eyes turn to Jesus. They know this is a weighted question. How is Jesus going to dodge this political poser? That's great climactic music for this moment, because Jesus steps up to the microphone, cues the music, and he says in verse 37, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. Wow. Not one thing, but two things. Two things that are entwined into one. Jesus says, love the Lord your God. God created humans to thrive in a relationship with him. And so loving God is both right because God is God, and also because loving God leads to our thriving. Loving God leads to human thriving. And right alongside loving God, Jesus entwines, he wraps into it, he sets, love your neighbor. As if loving God and loving your neighbor is entwined together. As if loving my neighbor is an overflow of my love for God. As if my love for God fuels and energizes and directs my love for neighbor, and not loving my neighbor somehow stifles and hinders my love for God. It's a simple truth. In a very complex moment, can you imagine love your neighbor being the political platform of the presidential candidate and the heartbeat of our nation? To bring it a little closer to home, what if you go to the city council meeting this week and the mayor stands up and says, in 2026, our goal is to love our neighbors. We're going to put all our funding and our resources and our staffing to that one goal. I want to move to that city. To bring it even closer to home, what if I swing by your house later on today and I say, we're standing at your front door, and I say, hey, what do you like about your neighborhood? And you say, gosh, I just love how we love each other on this street in this apartment complex. I love it. It's great. Love your neighbor entwined with loving God is the most important thing to Jesus. Now, this central concept has been on the staff's mind this fall. As we drive around our neighborhoods, as we see new housing developments being built, as we pray for you, and as our prayers overflow and spill into your neighbors, and we pray for your neighbors, it's been on our minds, and out of these times of prayer and conversation together, we think a good next step for our church in 2026 is to focus on Jesus' command to love our neighbor, and then to receive what the Holy Spirit wants for us to do, and take those steps. That's the plan. The rest of January, February, we're going to focus in on Jesus' words to love our neighbor. Okay? Here we go. Let's take it word by word. First, our neighbor. Love your neighbor. Jesus doesn't say love everyone everywhere. That's God's job, and he knows that we're finite, and each of us cannot love everyone everywhere. Although there are 2.6 billion Christians in the world, that's one out of three people, one out of three humans on the planet. And so if every one of those 2.6 loved their neighbors, then a lot of neighbors would be covered with love. But to each of us, Jesus says, focus in on your neighbor. In the context of the debate with the leaders in Jerusalem, that means loving our neighbor should impact government policy and tax laws and international relations. It impacts how we vote and how we talk and how we interact with the people and the groups and the cultures around us. At another debate recorded in Luke chapter 10, Jesus was asked directly, Jesus, who is our neighbor? And Jesus tells the now famous story of the Good Samaritan, who discovers a person on his path in crisis, and he helps them. And Jesus says, that is your neighbor. And you know, our church, I think, does a fairly good job of loving people in crisis. Each year, we pack meals for thousands and thousands of people around the world going through humanitarian disasters. This past year, did we pack 15,000 meals? Is that right? Incredible. We commit 10% of our tithes, 10% of our shared finances as a community. We commit 10% of it to give to organizations and people working around the world to help and support people in crisis. We go on a service trip to each year and partner with a church in Mexico. Here's last year's youth trip. Awesome. To support and bless people. We serve locally with cancer care organizations because people are in crisis. Cancer is terrible. We serve food and we build relationships with people at the Modesto Gospel Mission. We celebrate the kids' birthdays there every month. This is incredible what we do. I love what we're doing as a church around the world in our community. Let's keep it up, church. It's awesome. And also, do you think that Jesus meant that we could love our actual neighbors? Not just the people in crisis. Like the actual ones you share an apartment wall with or a fence with. The ones with the basketball hoop across the street or the four cars in the driveway next to you. If followers of Jesus, we are well known for loving people in crisis. You know, approximately 60% to 80% of all NGOs working in humanitarian aid are Christian. That's a huge amount. Way to go, Christians, blessing people and caring for them. But are Christians equally well known for loving the people who live next door? And I think Jesus is interested in helping us think about our relationship with our actual neighbors. That's the word neighbor. Now for the other word. Does Jesus say ignore your neighbors? Does Jesus say maintain superficial small talk with your neighbors? Does Jesus say hold a grudge against your neighbor? Does he say take advantage of or exploit or rob your neighbor? Does Jesus even say try to get into your house before your neighbor sees you? Nope, he doesn't. Jesus says love your neighbor. In fact, Jesus commands us love your neighbor. I wonder if Jesus commands humanity to love because he knows that left to ourselves, we might opt out. Left to ourselves, sometimes countries opt out of loving their neighbors. Left to ourselves, sometimes organizations and businesses opt out of loving those around them, and so do individuals. And the results are disastrous. You just read the news. But Jesus came into the world to free people from disaster. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to bring eternal life. Eternal life is free of sin. It's free of pain, free of loneliness and sadness, free of betrayal and hurt, free of brokenness. Out of love for the world, God sends Jesus Christ to come set people free from sin and free for the flourishing life of God. Unbelievable. Jesus didn't even make this commandment up. This commandment has been around for a long time. It's been the heartbeat of God ever since Leviticus. You flip back to Leviticus and you start reading Leviticus. Anybody ever tried to read Leviticus? Some of us have tried, and maybe by chapter 2 you lose your way. But if you make it all the way to chapter 19, verse 18, right in the middle of a whole bunch of different laws, Jesus says, or Leviticus says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's because God is trying to form a new nation. As he sets the nation of Israel free from slavery in Egypt, he leads them into the promised land, and he gives them these new commands, these new ways of living that are very different from the ways of living they had experienced in Egypt. And Leviticus 19, verse 18, comes at the end of a long list of do nots. Do not treat your neighbor unjustly. Do not endanger your neighbor's life. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone, against your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself. Just as God was forming a new people out of slavery in Egypt, Jesus is forming a new people to be shaped by his love. Love is active. Love, as 1 Corinthians 13 describes, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That means love forgives. Entwined with loving God is this active, emanating out love for our neighbors. This neighbor love is the hallmark of King Jesus. This neighbor love is the hallmark of every person living under his kingdom, under the rule and the influence of the kingdom of Jesus. Think about who lives next to you, who lives across the courtyard or across the street. When you hear Jesus' words to love these neighbors, how do you respond? And here's where I wonder what the Holy Spirit is doing in each of us uniquely, in each of our unique situations, with each of our unique neighbors. Because each of us currently has different capacities to love, and God is asking us to do unique things to love. Some of you are probably thinking, yeah, okay, Jesus, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know my neighbors. Okay. Well, you do know my neighbors. I get that. But Jesus, you know I don't have time to love them. And Jesus, I might be going through that gut-wrenching tragedy right now, And it feels like I need more love from other people than vice versa. So what are you saying to me right now in this moment, in January, in 2026? As a church, we're going to find out. Here's the plan for the next 2 months. We're going to read the blessed book together that Jill talked about. Audiobooks are available, like she said. Two pastors in our denomination have written this book several years ago to help us think through simple ways to love our neighbors. They understand that many people have busy lives. Raise your hand if you don't have a busy life. Yeah. But there are still profound ways that we're called to love our neighbors. You won't have to agree with everything in the book. Your experience is going to be different than the author's, but the book is full of great stories and simple action steps. BLESS is actually an acronym, and each letter starts with a different aspect of how we can bless our neighbors. And the B stands for begin with prayer. I feel like the author's cheated a little bit to say begin with prayer, but it's going to be that easy. We're going to talk about begin with prayer next week. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, good news. The first step to love your neighbor is to begin with prayer. You're driving out from your house, Lord, would you bless the people next to me? Done. We don't have reading schedules printed just yet, but let me just tell you, this week in your book, read the introduction chapters. That's chapters 1 and 2. Next Sunday, we're going to start in on chapter 3, and then you can read that and discuss with your life groups that week. All right? It's going to be a great time. This is a good book. Also, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be preaching on key scriptures and themes from the Blessed book and discussing them in our life groups. You can sign up for life groups in the foyer. If you're not in one, now is a great time to join a group. We have different ones on different days. We have them in person. We have a few on Zoom. So I hope you can sign up. Also, I believe, like I've been saying, that the Holy Spirit is going to inspire our individual action steps. We don't know what's going to happen. God's going to do something wonderful through us and in us and around us. And then we also want to do something to love our neighbors of the church building. Do something as a whole group. Let me describe this to you, because there are several new housing developments around, and we want to give them some welcome gifts. You may have heard about this at our annual meeting back in December. There's this one right here, Neighborhood 1. It's a new development on the corner of Oakdale and Westgate, near Costco and Riverbank. And we want to give welcome bags to every single house in this new development. There's another new development being built. It's on Sylvan between Oakdale and Roselle. We want to give welcome bags to every single house that moves in. When my family moved to Ripon, we're renting a house short-term in Ripon right now, and about day 3, there's a little bag or a bucket from Ace Hardware. And in the bucket on our doorstep was a little succulent and a little advertisement to the jewelry shop and the lawyer in town, and a little handwritten note from the class, like Ripon Christian fourth graders, wrote a little handwritten note to welcome us to the neighborhood. It's like, that's awesome. And I shared this with the staff, and as we thought about it, we're like, we should do the same thing for all of these people. Plus, why not give all of us Covenant Grove folks a couple welcome bags that we can give to our neighbors who live next to us? Just say, hey, our church is doing this. Wanted to hand them out. What's in the bags? It's got to be good enough that we would want to give them to the people next door. Let me tell you what's in the bags. Up In and Out. If you guys have been with us in the fall, you remember this triangle. This is the shape of Jesus' life. He's focused up to the Father, into community, out to the world. And it turns out that's the shape of how humans are designed to be as well. Let's give some gifts that go along with Up In and Out. A little small font, so let me read it for you. We want to give a little note, a welcome note, that includes a link to a YouVersion Bible, a link to a little worship playlist, and a prayer. Simple prayer for them, and then a little magnet that's just like, it's got a beautiful nature scene or something, just to inspire them to look up. In the bag, we want to give them a little a bracelet, a little rubber bracelet that says, love your neighbor in 4 or 5 languages of the people in the community, just as a reminder, hey, we can love our neighbors of different ethnicities. Little hot cocoa party mix, we want to give people a gift to then say, hey, go take this to your neighbor and get to know him and drink hot chocolate together. Because everybody loves hot chocolate. Kingdom Coffee in town is working on some little gift card or something to include in the bag that we can give just to bless them. And then we're going to host a little neighborhood barbecue in these two neighborhoods later in the spring. So there'll be an invite to the neighborhood barbecue. All things designed to help just build friendship. And then gifts for out. We want to give a little packet of seeds in this bag just to say, hey, go make the world a beautiful place. Plant some seeds. Info on Love Stanislaus, Love Modesto, this group. So Love Modesto is working on what can they include in these bags to send out and spread the word, how we can get involved in our cities. And then we'll have a little info on what our church is involved with, and they're welcome to join us or join any other church. Our hope is that all these people get to be inspired and blessed to live this up in and out lifestyle. Erin Stanfield, who sings, who's sitting right over there, she is the welcome gift ringleader, so she's spearheading this event for us. Thank you. It's awesome. We're going to hear more about it. Absolutely. We're going to hear more about it in the coming weeks, how you can and fund. We're going to fundraise for these items, and we're going to all pack them together after church on a couple Sundays later in the month, and then we'll go hand them out. Our plan is to make 1,000 welcome bags and hand them out to people and just to bless them. So that's what we're doing. In addition to the welcome bags, like I mentioned, we're going to be prayer walking these neighborhoods. So we'll organize some after church times to go walk the neighborhood and pray. And then we're going to be doing some barbecues to, again, build community and connection thriving in these communities. So barbecues later on in the spring. That's what we're doing. I'm pretty excited about it. Why are we taking these next steps? Why are we working to bless people, to love our neighbors? Very simply, we're taking these next steps because we're shaped by Jesus. And Jesus says to love your neighbor. Jesus says to love your neighbor because he knows that love is connected to freedom. Love is connected to freedom. It's out of love that Jesus came to free us from sin, to free us from being bound down, to free us from that grip, like it says in John 3:16. And then in chapter 9 of Matthew's gospel, just earlier, chapter 9, verse 36, Matthew records this poignant moment where Jesus is looking out at the masses of humanity who are coming to him. He's filled with compassion. He's filled with love. And he says, quote, "They are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." One of my mentors puts it this way, harassed, life's not going well. Helpless, there's nothing I can do about it. Sheep without a shepherd, and there's no one to help me. Is there anyone on your street or in your apartment complex for whom life is not going well? For whom there's nothing they can do about it? And who have no one to help them. There's people like that everywhere. They might not look like it. They might have a pretty good face on. They might not tell you. But inside, they're not doing well. And Jesus sends us out to bless people, to love people, to help them be set free. Could it be that God is calling our church right here on Roselle and Claribel to love people in the neighborhoods for whom life is not going well, who cannot do anything about it? Could it be? Could it be that God is calling you to be with the people who live next to you, to do the same thing for them, to love them so that Jesus Christ can set them free? What Jesus offers, what our church offers, this love, this friendship, and this support, this expansive relationship with God, it brings freedom. It brings freedom. A friend of mine was trapped in self-focus. Trapped in a self-focused life. A little mean, a little nasty, very glamorous, but trying to get on top of the pile. And not afraid to take down other people so that she could get up higher. Looking out for herself, stepping on other people to get there. But meanwhile, she was dying inside. Life is not going very well for her. She didn't let it on. She kept up her "I've got it all together" face. And then a couple years ago, someone introduced her to Jesus. And Jesus has been setting her free. She is becoming one of the most hope-filled, loving people I know. Kind, strong, generous. The way she loves has transformed the people that she works with. It's transformed her community. She's even become a champion of helping other people love other people. The transformation that the Holy Spirit began in her, is doing in her, is the blessing of it, is coming as a result of Jesus Christ setting her free. And it's breathtaking. Worship team, come on up. Loving our neighbors brings freedom to others because it brings freedom to ourselves also. Freedom to us. This command, love your neighbor, brings freedom to us from living self-focused lives surrounded by our own comfort and entertainment. Freedom from being consumed by our own plans and our own busyness and our own brokenness. Freedom from being swept away by all the things that grab our attention. We were made for love, and King Jesus wants to set us free to love well, church. And so my prayer, as we focus on bless, as we love our neighborhoods and love our neighbors and we walk through this journey together, my prayer is that as we learn these practices to help us take the simple steps to love our neighbors in everyday ways, not a checklist, not a campaign, but a way of being formed by the Holy Spirit to love Jesus and extend the freedom that Jesus offers to us. Extend that freedom to everywhere we go. Amen.